Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Happy Independence Day weekend, Denver. In today for Orlando and Sandy, here's Nick Ferguson and Keith Irizarry.
It's Nick Ferguson and Keith Irizarry in for Orlando and Sandy. And let's go out to the VIP line. Phil Simms, two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback for the New York Football Giants and Super Bowl MVP. And once football comes back, you can catch him on CBS as a sports analyst calling all the top-notch games. Phil, thank you for joining us. Really quick, I want to get into this right away. I mean, as a quarterback, knowing what the sounds are going to be and having the ability to communicate with your wide receivers is so important. But the idea that we may not have any fans in the stands, how is that going to affect the game moving forward? And the advantage goes to what side of the ball?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I think it always goes to the offensive side in that respect. One, they can communicate clearly. And, of course, road games, they will have to fight trying to communicate with crowd noise, which is, you know, turned into a big factor for many stadiums, Denver being one of them. So, but also, the defense is going to hear it. Now, when they study teams, you're going to have to change all your calls and everything almost every week because the sound is going to be very clear. I think the big question real quick is this. Will the networks and the NFL pump in crowd noise to the TV audience, you know, which won't affect the players out there? We'll see it. But I would like to see it with no pumped-in crowd noise. I want to hear the players. I want to hear the running, the hitting, the yelling, and everything that goes with it. I think that'll be a great experience for the fans that watch NFL football.
Phil, I'm with you. I think I would love to hear the sounds from down on the field. I mean, you were on that field. Nick was on that field. You guys know. What are some of the crazy things you might hear that won't get us in trouble on the airwaves right now?
Well, you know what? That's a good question, Keith. As you said that, I started to laugh. First off, maybe it might turn people off when they see how fast or just realize it and how the hitting and everything involved and how physical the NFL games are. TV does not do it justice. There I was, you know, I played for 15 years, and I was at the AFC Championship game with Tennessee and Kansas City, standing on the sideline sometimes, not a whole lot because it was so cold, but watching it, and they would be running towards us, and I just go, oh, my gosh, you know, the speed, the cutting, and, of course, the big thing, the hitting. And, you know, you just forget what it's like, but when you're trained to do it, you've done it your whole life. You're in the prime physical shape of your whole life and everything. It's just what you do and you love it. So that part, and of course some words, the players, I don't know what but some of the words they say out there might not be, they better be on about a 15-second delay because, you know, sometimes people don't talk real nice about their opponents every once in a while.
We're talking to Phil Simms, two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. Phil, I mean, that's something that's really interesting. We saw the XFL have those instant interviews on the sideline, and the players had mics on them. See, I don't know. Like, for me, as a defensive player, we talk trash to offensive guys. And a lot of things have been said, you know, back and forth. But do you think that the league will now start to implement more rules because of guys who may have that kind of abrasive language that you can't censor all the time?
Oh, man, no. Come on. Hey, listen, in that sport and football, you know, just when you talk about this, I had a lot of things said to me by the defensive players, but what's the great thing about football, I said it right back to them. So I didn't care. What are they going to do, beat me up? I got a helmet on and pads. Beat me up. I don't care. Now, if I saw them outside and if they took it personal, I'd be a little scared. But, no, there's no way you can say, oh, now, guys, don't go out there and say any bad words and all this because that's just going to happen. It happens in practice. It happens in walkthroughs, anything they do. You know, it's just such a competitive, physical, demanding sport that things are going to come out of your mouth that have nothing to do with your normal life. And I got to admit, I said more curse words on the football field, on the sidelines, even to my teammates, coaches, and the opponents that I've said in my whole life. So I don't know if they're going to want that to come through, but a lot of things that are said out there, you know, it's pretty funny. You know, sometimes somebody sees something to you, you go, hey, man, that was good. That was great. You got me. You just got to walk away. So
I guess the cameras will be okay and the microphones will be okay with Philip Rivers, since he apparently does not curse at all. Phil, we are on 104.3 The Fan in Denver, so let's dive into some Broncos. How about Drew Locke and him taking over now officially as the man for Denver? What's your take on him?
Well, he'll be viewed differently now because he's getting a lot of pub out there. Now, here's what I love. Oh, the public loves him. I know all the guys that rate the players, and always different. Oh, let's don't take in the fact that he played with a bad offense, a bad team at Missouri, and they're playing Alabama, Auburn, LSU, where they really have zero chance of winning those games, and he was judged that way. Drew Locke was a first-round talent. My son, Christopher, who does this for a living too, he was so on Drew Locke and just, you know, people. And I said, yeah, you know, even I was a little skeptic, not skeptic, but I just go, huh? And then I go, come on, judge him. Quit judging the team, the coordinators or whatever. Just judge his talent. And when you just looked at him talent-wise, he was definitely a first-round draft selection. But, hey, you know, through the process, all the things that are said, the media, this and that, it drives the public perception down. And I think it even changes the opinions of people sometimes who believe all this stuff. And so I hope Drew Locke goes out. I hope he has a great year for this reason, just to show everybody that he truly was a number one draft pick. And John Elway, I don't know what, but he kind of knew this was the perception going on out there, so that's probably the reason why he waited and got him, what, with the second pick, their second pick in the second round, which was a steal, no question.
We're talking to Super Bowl MVP Phil Simms joining Nick and Heath Irizarry. Let's talk about perception. Because the perception here in Broncos country is that, you know, this is a team that's always competing for a championship. But as of the past four seasons, there's kind of been a playoff drought. So what's the national perception of this team and of John Elway?
Well, of John Elway, I think it's high. I think what happened just in this draft, what happened, the fact that Drew Locke came through for him, what they've done at the tight end position, and, you know, of course, getting Jerry Jeudy and K.J. Hamler in a draft, I think that was awesome to get both of them. And we know Vic Fangio did a great job with the defense last year. I expect it to be even better. Then they pick up Melvin Gordon to go along with Philip Lindsay and, oh, shoot, who's he? Oh, and Royce Freeman. So I think the perception across the country is the only thing that I hear bad, and I talk to a lot of people and do this stuff, is the fact, hey, they're in the AFC West, and it's tough. And they, so there's going to be six tough games right there. You know, the Chargers are going to be better, no doubt. And, you know, the Raiders, they'll be better, but I look at the Raiders, really, I almost look at them as the fourth team in the division. So they're going to have to win those tough games, and sometimes that might be hard to do with really a first-year quarterback. But here's the last thing before I forget. Pat Shurmur coming to the Broncos might have been the biggest pickup of the year. I love his offense. I love what he did in Minnesota for years, and I liked what he did in New York. It's just New York was everywhere. The team was everywhere. So he really didn't have much of a chance, but I think he's a tremendous offensive coordinator and really thrives with quarterbacks like Drew Locke.
You know, Phil, you mentioned Chris, your son, who I work with in year one over at CBS, and now I see you every Sunday during the NFL season. For people out there that don't realize, both of you guys, and maybe it was a trickle-down effect from the way you played in your career and early on in your broadcast career, you guys both really pay attention to the X's and O's. So you mentioned, like, Vegas and maybe how they'll be, you know, towards the bottom portion of the AFC West. When we look at the West, the Chiefs are the cream of the crop. We know that. How do you view the Chargers right now?
You know, I like the Chargers. I do. You know, I think that, you know, if you think that Tyrod Taylor, look, Anthony Lynn was a running back in the NFL. He sees the game a different way. He isn't an ex-quarterback or an offensive guru. So he wants a team that's going to run the ball, a quarterback that doesn't take chances, who's mobile. And, you know, Tyrod Taylor does have a good arm. They got a really good wide receiving crew. But, you know, when you look at the Chargers, they're going to be good on the defensive side. And last year they were so close in so many games where mistakes, and really by Phillip Rivers, it was probably the worst year I've seen him play. You know, it just made mistakes at the wrong time. It really hurt the football team. But they got, you know, they drafted Kenneth Murray on defense, which is a big deal. I like, you know, what they can do, Joey Bosa, whatever. The offensive line's not bad. They got a great wide receiving core. So I think the Chargers are going to be good. This is going to be a really interesting division. Going to be tough. And not only just for the – but I think it's going to be tough for the Kansas City Chiefs too. You know what? You're chasing that Super Bowl title. And when you get it, it's just such a hard journey to do it. Can you still have that same, what's the word for it? Just you let it all go because you haven't done it. And I don't know. That's going to be really interesting. That a lot of that's going to be up to Andy Reid. Can he get the desperation? That's the word I was looking for. You got to be desperate to win the Super Bowl. And we were back when we played the Broncos in the 86 season. You know, we'd been chasing for 3 years, and here we are. This is our chance. And we played desperate most of the time, especially towards the end of the year. And the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl, their desperation at the end of the game, I've watched it twice, the Super Bowl game. And I just go, oh, my gosh, they are just laying it out. And the 49ers are trying to protect. That's a tough situation for football teams. And the Kansas City Chiefs, with talent and truly their will, won the Super Bowl and made that great comeback.
Phil, I mean this truthfully. You are the best. I could sit here and talk football with you for hours on end. Thank you so much for the time. Please give my love to all of your family. And hopefully the world is normal again so that I can see you on Sundays in our CBS studios.
Okay, every time I come in there on Sundays real quick, you're always eating. I don't know how you do it. You stay trim and fit, but, you know, you are one eating well, son of a gun, I'll say. So there you go. But great talking to you guys. I'm hoping the season goes. You know, there's so many teams. The AFC, my gosh, we're loaded with good quarterbacks from CBS, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And, Keith, I'll see you in there.
See you later, Phil.
Thank you, guys.
Man, that's great, man. You can't beat that. I mean, you're talking about two-time Super Bowl winner, you know, Phil Simms telling us what we need to know about how the quarterback is going to approach this game moving forward and giving some nuggets about one Drew Lock. There's a lot to unpack there. We'll do that next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.